to forgive. Two men were out in the woods one day, standing, talking, and all of a sudden a grizzly bear came up in front of them. One looked at the other and said, "What are we going to do?" He said, "I don't know about you, but I'm going to take off running." One guy says, "We can't outrun the grizzly bear." He said, "All I got to do is outrun you." If we can forgive someone that is the second person, "All I got to do is outrun you," we ought to be able to forgive anyone. I mentioned Monday night at our vision team meeting, and I was going to ask the question this week: what has anyone done this week to overcome fear? We talked about fear last week. What have I done? What's happened in my life? Because if we don't apply what we hear, it falls on deaf ears. So I ask you to think about that. So far, we've looked at several words in this series of words that we just don't like. The first one we took a look at was can't. And I love Monday night at our vision team meeting when Jan said we were talking in Sunday school class and the word can't comes up and she says, "We don't use that word." I appreciate that. Paul wrote to the Philippians, he says, "For I can do everything through Christ who strengthens me," or "who gives me strength." The second word we looked at was submission. Submission is a love word before it becomes an authority word. What submission says is, "Hey, come join me on my journey. I want you to go with me. I submit to you, you submit to me." 1 Peter 2:3 says, "For the Lord's sake, submit to all human authority, whether the king is head of the state." Submit. Diversity. What makes you any better than me? Or if I could look at it from a selfish standpoint, what makes me any better than you? We're all created in God's image. So that's what diversity is. It's accepting each other and accepting other people for who they are. And fear. Remember when last week we talked about fear and we said that God told the Israelite children and told Joshua, "Go into the land." He said, "I'm going before you, fear not. Be courageous." So he's chosen us. Today we're going to talk about forgiveness, and it's our relationship with God that is restored through forgiveness, or through our submitting to Him and turning our lives over to Him. And we think that's great. God forgives us, but what about going to our brother? Say, "Will you forgive me for what I did? Will you forgive me for what I said?" It's okay for God to forgive us, but that's the tough part of it. That becomes the ouch part of the gospel. It hurts to go to someone. Luke 17:4 says, "Even if that person wrongs you 7 times a day and each time turns again and asks for forgiveness, you must forgive." That's 7 times. We're going to talk about a multiplication of that a little bit later. But how do we know when we've had given someone forgiveness? Well, we're at peace with the situation. We no longer think about it. We no longer want to get even with them. You ever had those people you want to get even with? I have, I'll be honest with you. You probably all have. Somewhere maybe someone's hurt us and it's like, "I'm going to get you." These words that you have chosen for this message series have made me look deep into my soul and look at it. I was at lunch this week with a friend of mine and we were talking and he said, "You know, what are you preaching on this Sunday?" I said, "Well, we've been doing this series on words that we don't like and we went through some of them." He says, "Man, I think I'm going to do that." And I said, well, it's interesting because there weren't words that necessarily I didn't like, but I asked, tell me words you don't like and let's talk about them. And let's see if we can't figure out how we can get through that situation. And how we can overcome things in our life. We're going to read the scripture after the message because I wanted you to think about what was said during the message. I didn't mean to throw Debbie a curve, but anybody around here knows I throw a lot of curves. Peter just concluded a tremendous message in the book of Acts when he's talking about what's going on, and he had said that Jesus went about doing good and healing people, healing all of them that were oppressed the devil, everybody that had been offended or bothered by the devil. That becomes the fulfillment of the gospel, is healing, and it's healing through forgiveness. And he's saying to those people, he said, you have to have a personal faith. This just doesn't come easy, but it's a personal one-on-one faith. He says, you've got to believe that when you look at your life, you will begin to grow when you look and you can find some faults that you need to confess one to another. It's not an easy thing to do, but it's a very freeing thing to say to someone, I wronged you. Not, you know, I might have. We know what we've done wrong. We don't have to say might. But there's a lot of people, I think, that kind of want to hang on to it. And they want to kind of keep it because it seems like it's something that might control someone, or they don't want to face it, or maybe they just don't know how to go about asking forgiveness or seeking some way to go about getting freedom from it. And it's a very simple thing. It's, Lord, forgive me, and just name it. That's all it takes. Or it's to go to someone that we've offended and say, and sometimes it can be our spouse. So that's oftentimes the people that are closest to us. I'm sorry I hurt you. Forgive me. God knows our heart. And he knows a lot of times that we are in subjection and we feel bad and when things bother us. But that other person needs to hear it from us. President Abraham Lincoln signed the Emancipation Proclamation on September 22, 1862, freeing all the slaves effective January 1, 1863. Freed every slave in the Confederacy, but they didn't know it. Many of them couldn't read or write, but they didn't know they were free. And so what he had the Union soldiers do was take hundreds of thousands of papers around to them to let them know that they were free. They had been forgiven, in essence, of what happened. And he had freed them to live as free people. They didn't know it till they got the piece of paper. We can know that we are forgiven when we confess it without a piece of paper. Our hearts will be cleared up. Our conscience will be relieved. So the question comes, what did Jesus mean when he said you should forget people 70 times 7? There's somebody out there multiplying it out. It's 490. I multiplied it out. And so we ask the question, do we keep track of that? And what Jesus was saying is that 70 times 7 was in response to Peter's question, because Peter had said, Lord, what do we forgive people 7 times? Peter was such a benevolent individual. He thought that if I doubled what the rabbis taught, because the rabbis taught 3 times, based on Amos 1, chapters 3 through 13, I believe it is, when God destroyed the nations that oppressed Israel after forgiving them 3 times. And so Peter's thinking, I'm going to be really righteous, I'm going to be really forgiving, I'm going to be really benevolent. And so I'm going to suggest seven times. And Jesus was saying, I don't care if you want to double it, Peter, you're still wrong. He's saying 70 times seven. He's saying not 490 times. He said your forgiveness is unlimited. There is no set number of times that we forgive someone from hurting us. And in fact, when he's talking about that, he's talking about discipline in the church and how you restore a brother that has sinned. And so he's talking to him about that, and that's what he's saying. And I looked back on some of the words through this series, and I jotted these notes down as I thought about it. It said, if we do not believe that we can do something, then we will not even attempt it. If I can't do it, I won't even attempt it. We've already formed that in our mind. So if I don't believe that I can ask someone to forgive me, I can't. And we're right. If submission is a word, it's a love word before it is ever an authority word, then without submission to loving someone, we will never act on the authority to forgive. It's amazing when I look at this how these things flow together. If we fear looking inside to see what needs to be forgiven in my own life, or we fear going to someone to say, forgive me, I've wronged you, we'll never do it. Can't submit and fear. We have to be obedient and have a forgiving heart to God. I read this story this week and I thought it was a great story, and it has to do with Roger Staubach when he was the quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys. And he was always wanting to call his own plays. But as some of us will remember, he was coached by one of the greatest coaches in history, Tom Landry. So Tom Landry would send a play in and tell Roger Staubach when to pass the ball or when to run the ball. And the only way that Roger Staubach could change a play was if he thought there was an emergency and he'd seen a different defense and he had the authority at that time to call the play and make a change in it. And he said, I had to make a decision. He said, I had to come to the place that I was either going to allow pride to rule my life and ignore his coach, or he said, I was going to have to listen to the coach and do what he wanted Roger Staubach to do. He later said, I faced up to the issue of obedience. Once I learned to obey, there was harmony, fulfillment, and victory. The one thing that holds us back from so many things is that thing, forgiveness. Maybe unforgiveness. And I don't know what's in your heart. I have no idea. One of the great things about forgiveness and seeking and looking inwardly is nobody knows unless you tell them. No one knows what needs to be cleaned up unless we tell them, I'm sorry. I've hurt you. Please forgive me. That is true forgiveness. And that's the heart that we go to with Jesus when we ask for forgiveness and we ask for a relationship to be restored. Is the word I think I heard a long time ago is a contrite heart. but it's a heart with no animosity. But it's a heart that's pure and open to God and saying, cleanse me. If you would like to, and I'm just going to make this an open invitation at the end of the service, if you want to come up and talk about something or pray about something, the band will be playing while we do that. But I just want to give you an opportunity if you want to come talk about something. We're going to read the scripture, but I want you to especially listen to what God tells his children in the book of Isaiah, because it is compelling. May God bless you.